Thank the Lord for the privilege of being in worship service today. I'd like to read in Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1 and 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, and 3,000 camels, and 5,000 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with him. And so it was, when the days of their feasting were gone about, Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Yes. That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And then Job suffered some great losses. Yes. Let's move to chapter 2, verse 1. And again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without a cause. It says that the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. In ancient times, those who served God were referred to as the sons of God. Yes. Clark refers to them as those who were born from above, children of the kingdom. Yes. And it says they came to present themselves before the Lord. Matthew Henry offers one possibility, that these are the saints that had gathered together for a worship service, for a religious assembly. Another Bible commentator had this to say about the sons of God coming to present themselves before the Lord. As kings, therefore, transact their most important affairs in a solemn council or assembly, so God is pleased to represent himself as having his counsel likewise. And as passing his decrees, the decrees of his counsel, his providence in an assembly of his holy angels, we have here in the case of Job the same grand assembly held as was before that of Ahab in 1 Kings 22 and 6 through 23. The same host of heaven called here the sons of God, presenting themselves before Jehovah as in the vision of Micaiah, they are said to stand on his right hand and on his left. A wicked spirit appearing among them, here called Satan or the adversary, and there a lying spirit, both bent on mischief, ready to do all the hurt they were permitted to do, for both were under the control of his power. I'd like to go over to that other passage in 1 Kings chapter 22. First Kings chapter 22 and verse 19. This is the prophet speaking to the king. Hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne. Can you picture this today? The Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said on this manner, another said on that manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. I want you to think of God being on his throne. God has the ultimate authority over all spiritual powers. Over everything in earth, God is the ultimate authority. And I want you to notice he even has authority over evil spirits. Yes. Controls, limits what they are able to do. Picture this scene in Job's day. The sons of men, whether it was spiritual beings or whether they were humans, standing before God, presenting themselves to God, yes, to this great authority. And then picture in Ahab's day, the host of heaven standing by, yes, God on his right hand and on his left. God, that great authority. The song says, he looks and 10,000 of angels rejoice. And myriads now wait for his word. He speaks, and eternity filled with his voice re-echoes the praise of the Lord. Let's picture one other scene, and that is the last great day. Let's read about that in Revelation 1 and 7. Revelation 1 and 7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of earth shall wail because of him. Can you picture that? Do you ever think about that day? When God, that great authority, will be there. And just as the sons of God presented themselves before the Lord, and just as the spirits were subject to him, some on his right, some on his left, we will stand before God on that last great day. What is that day going to be like? What is going to be important to us on that day? We have another song that says, the earth shall melt with fervent heat, the heavens pass away, and all mankind their doom shall meet in that last great day. Oh, that last great day is coming very soon. 'Tis the judgment day and the lost shall weep. 'Tis a crowning day and the saints shall greet in that last great day. That time that the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, it was a good day for Job in a sense because he was commended by God. And in this last great day, it says, the lost shall weep. For them, it's going to be a terrible day. But it also says, the saints shall greet. But I want us to keep in mind that we will all have to stand before God. What would it be like to stand before a great judge? You think about earthly judges. They are commanding respect. They're dressed in a certain way. They have a place of dignity. You walk into the courtroom and there is silence unless the judge grants you speaking permission or whatever. He has control over that courtroom. And I think it is appropriate that a judge is to be honored if that judge is an honorable person. Someone who is put in that position because they show good discernment, because they have good character, because they are fair and just. It is appropriate to show that person respect. And even if the judge is a dishonorable person, I believe we can still honor the office of a judge. What would it be like to stand before a great judge and give an account of ourselves? Well, earthly judges can sure instill fear in people. Shortly after the time of Christ, Alexandria, Egypt, had both Greek and Jewish populations. The city was founded by Alexander the Greek, the Great, Alexander the Great, a Greek conqueror. There were Jews and Greeks in the city, and they were rivals. And the Greeks were persecuting the Jews. They desecrated the Jewish synagogues with statues, and they pillaged the homes of the Jewish citizens. The Jews' enemies sent complaints against them to Rome. Rome had conquered Alexandria. And so they were forwarding on complaints about the Jews to Rome. The Roman Emperor Gaius Caesar visited Alexandria, and the Jews sent a group of representatives to appeal to the emperor. The emperor was not a mercy-loving man. In fact, he entertained himself by watching tortures and executions. The Jews came to this great man, this emperor, and they bowed to the ground before him. But they despaired when they saw the sarcastic look on his face. The emperor said, "So you are the impious wretches who will not have me for a god, but worship one whose name you dare not mention." To their horror, he pronounced the name Yahweh. The enemies of the Jews were overjoyed and accused the Jews of wanton indifference to the emperor's health and safety. The Jews objected, saying, "Not so, Lord Gaius, for thrice have we sacrificed whole hecatombs in thy behalf." A hecatomb was 100 oxen. "Maybe," replied the emperor, "but ye sacrificed for me and not to me." Finally, the emperor sent the Jews away, saying, "They are to be pitied more than blamed, poor fools, who cannot believe that I am a god." It did not take the emperor long to discover that he was not a god, however. He was hated by Rome and was assassinated in a narrow passageway at a theater by his own guardsmen. To come and stand before someone who is the ultimate authority. That emperor could have commanded their deaths that day. What would it be like to stand before someone who is the ultimate authority and find no mercy? Isn't that serious? Did you know that every one of us someday will stand before God? I find it a serious thought. And down through the millennia, people have been standing before God. Some folks will stand before God and find no mercy. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 20. "Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse. In the openings of her gates, in that city, she uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and you refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded, but you have set at naught all my counsel, and would have none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon me, and I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. To stand before the Almighty Judge and to find no mercy, that will come true for some folks. Let us turn to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11. Revelation 20 and 11, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. It says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. That doesn't leave anyone out.
Yes.
That's the homeless person. That is the king.
Yes.
That is the tyrant that was unmerciful to his people. That was the emperor Gaius. He will be there as well. And so will every one of us.
Yes.
I saw the dead, small and great, doing what? Standing before God. I hope that we have respect for that day. That there's a caution in us, realizing no matter what choices we make in life, there's coming a day that we will stand before God.
Amen.
Have you ever had a teacher that told you, now pay attention to what I'm getting ready to tell you because it will be on the test? I appreciated that. I wanted to know what I needed to know to pass the test. So really it was kindness on the part of that teacher to say, this is going to be on the test, pay attention. Well, we have that benefit today, don't we? To know some things that are going to be on the test. Because there's coming a day we're going to stand before God. There will be a test. And what's going to be on there? Jesus gave some of that answer in Matthew 12 and 36. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment.
Yes.
People may say, I didn't say that. Well, every idle word that we speak, we will give an account in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So what's on the test? Every word that we speak is what we will give an account for when we stand before God. Is there anything that is going to slip by in that day? We have unsolved murders. They say they're cold cases. They've even given up investigating. There are criminals that go to their graves never having told where the money was buried or what all the series of crimes were that they committed. There are people that are fairly good moral people that never disclose some of their hidden sins. What deed will escape on that day? What deed is going to get past the eye of God when we stand before Him? Let us read in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Lord, on that day, will know our very intentions. Sometimes people misjudge us. Maybe we intended one thing and they think something else. And we don't get a fair judgment, do we? But on that day, God knows our thoughts and the very intentions that motivated our actions and our words. So what deed is going to escape on that day? The Lord knows it all anyway. Psalms 139 and 12. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee.
Yes.
So, we can't hide in the darkness. I believe it was Job that said something about, if I descended down here, maybe it's one of the Psalms, I couldn't run from you. If I went over here, I couldn't run from you. Nowhere that we can go can we hide our deeds from the Lord. Even in today's amazing crime-solving technology, some criminals get away with it, but not from God. Because there will come a day that we will stand before God. So I think it's really important that we're ready for that day. Just like we wanted to get ready for the test, it gave me a sense of urgency, a sense of, I better be real careful. The teacher said this is on the test. I need to pay attention now. Well, we heard some things this morning that are going to be on the test.
Yes.
It's a blessing to know the Word of God, what the commandments are, the Old Testament, the New Testament. What a blessing that we have that privilege, that the Bible's not illegal in this country right now. This is a day of opportunity, a window of opportunity. Let's be learning it. Let's be hiding it in our hearts, because a test is coming and we will stand before God. We will give an account. Let us be ready. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes 12 and 1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them.
Yes.
And then it describes the condition of a person as they're reaching the end of life.
Yes.
How things start shutting down. And then in verse 7, the end. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. And the spirit, notice what happens to the spirit. The spirit shall return unto God who gave it. God gave us life. He gave us our spirits. He is the creator of our souls. So our souls, we go back and we stand before God. And the scripture says, give an account of the deeds done in the body, whether they are good or evil. Let us be ready. Because every one of us will stand before God. I fear some people. I would not want to stand before certain tyrants that are leaders of their countries. I would not really want to be put on trial as a Christian in some countries. But what would it be to stand before the God of all creation? The one who has known me from the time I was conceived until my dying breath, and known every thought and every deed, the intents of my heart, everything done in darkness, knew it all. And there I am. How am I going to be before him? Scripture describes the condition of one man said he was speechless. Friend, how camest thou here without a wedding garment? And the man was speechless. So what did the king say? Bind him, take him away into outer darkness. What are we going to have to say for ourselves? You know, people say too many words a lot of times. In the political realm, in social media, in the so-called news. Opinions being expressed in the government buildings. People are saying too many words, and there is coming a day that people are going to be speechless.
Yes.
Because they'll be standing before God. They won't be so free and arrogant with their opinions. Young people are showing great disrespect to their elders. There's coming a day that all that's going to be speechless. It's going to be brought to an end. We have a right to free speech in this country, don't we?
Yes.
That's a blessing, but it's being abused. And there's coming a day speechlessness is going to take over in the presence of Almighty God. Let us be ready for that day. Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, verse 33. Heaven and earth shall pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away along with people's dreams and fine homes and cars and vacation homes and yachts and bank accounts. They're going to pass away, but something's not going to pass away. What? The word by which we will be judged in that last great day. My words shall not pass away. Then shouldn't we pay attention to his words?
Yes.
Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. You have what it takes for me to make it heaven. Give me your words, Lord. Is there anything in my life that is contrary to your word, Lord? Help me to see it. Help me to understand. Before I get to the test, please, Lord,
yes.
Help me to know. Can we be ready for that day? We can. And we can be commended just like Job was. Oh, what a blessing to stand before God and the Lord say, you see my servant? There's a man, there's none like him.
Yes.
You can be ready.
Amen.
In that day, we can all be ready. Yes. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 20. Revelation 22 and 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. That's Jesus. And what should our response be? Amen.
Yes.
Or let it be so.
Even so,
come Lord Jesus. I want to live that way.
Yes.
Really, I want to live. Sometimes I live dangerously. I enjoy life. But I do want to live. I don't want to die in a car accident, anything like that. But I want to live in such a way that my heart can say, even so, come Lord Jesus. I don't want to be going along life's way and knowing there are things that are a violation.
Yes.
I want the Lord to speak to me. I want the Lord to be pleased with my life. I want to be careful. Because there is coming a day I will stand before Him. And at that day, I'm not going to be standing before Him giving account of how my enemy treated me.
Yes.
Or anything else. The unfairness of life, I'm not going to give an account of that. I'm going to give an account of how I treated my enemy. Of how I lived my life, of what happened in the darkness, got to give an account when I stand before God. May God help us to be careful.
Amen.
And I want to encourage you today. You can make it.
Yes.
You can pass the test. But we have to be sincere. We have to be careful in our lives. May God bless.